This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Hi, this is Jeffrey Epstein from Disney's D23, the official fan club, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 411 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, we're going to be bringing you some more of that 50th anniversary information that we got on October 1st. Our guy Sam from Sam's Disney Diary and the Disney Nerds Podcast was down in Walt Disney World, and he was there to get some interviews. We're going to be listening to a bunch of those interviews tonight, and we'll probably extend this to a different show down the road. As you remember, October 1st was the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, of the Magic Kingdom, and there were a lot of interviews going on. The first one we're going to bring you tonight is an interview with Mark, and he is one of the directors of the Disney Enchantment, the new fireworks show in the Magic Kingdom. Sam got some great information from him. Take it away, Sam.
Hello, Disney nerds. Welcome back to Sam's Disney Diary. Once again, from Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary celebration, I am joined by Mark. Mark is the producer for Disney Enchantment. Is that right?
That's pretty close.
I'm close.
Yeah, it's close. I'm lucky enough to be the show director.
The show director.
Disney Enchantment.
Now, how cool is that to be directing a show that is going to be in Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom for millions of people to see?
You're making me nervous now by doing that.
We haven't seen it yet, but it's true. It's huge.
It is.
And seeing some of the footage that's already been out, it looks amazing. Extending from Cinderella's Castle into Main Street, USA. Where does this whole process start?
Oh, great question. You should do this for a living. first of all, it's all about the magic.
Sure.
And it's also about the magic that we have at our fingertips. So sometimes it's about what else can we do? What have we done? What would we like to do? So in this case, you have we have a long line of fantastic nighttime spectaculars.
Absolutely. Right. You could go right down the history of everyone.
Right. So now it's like, well, if you're going to do something new, why? Well, one, this is a big celebration. So our show is literally 50 years in the making. So there's the first thing. This is a special day. It needs a crowning achievement. It needs a capper to the end of an amazing day at the Magic Kingdom.
A kiss
where it
good
all
night.
Started, right here.
A kiss good night is what I'm thinking, right?
That's
something
right.
Along those lines. But this, it all started here.
Yeah. So, what are you going to do different? So, we're going to take our guests on a journey. I mean, full
okay.
of adventure and wonder and empowerment, alongside a whole host of our favorite characters. Some from long, long ago that we've grown up with and that we feel like they're family. And
sure.
A lot of brand new ones that we've just met. And we're going to go on this journey with them. And the goal is they're going to help us learn what they've learned on their journeys. Because at the end of their journeys, they are all a little enchanted. They have all
sure
grown. They've learned something. And with a song like our theme song, which is You Are the Magic, I think we're all going to be reminded that we are all unique and we have something that nobody else has. And if we just embrace that magic, the key to dreams come true, in fact, lies within you and you.
I love that, because when you think about each of those characters, they all have their own hero's journey that they go through in their stories, whatever the story might be. Some of them multiple stories. But pulling that all together into an immersive celebration of Disney, which is really what you're doing, what you have done, and being able to bring the latest technology. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about a fireworks show. We're not talking about a projection show. We're not talking about a laser show. We're talking about all of that together as a single entity to tell your story. What do you start with? Is it a fireworks show or is it a projection show?
Well, that's a lot of different questions there. So I'm going to try to answer them all.
I appreciate it, Mark.
I'm going to try to answer them all at the same time.
Okay.
With the word spectacular, right? You kind of have to put it all together. So in this case, Happily Ever After is what has been here. But the only thing we feel like we would have liked to do a little bit different, because we listen
sure.
to everybody
sure, sure.
and what they say. And it's like sometimes we feel like we didn't have as many fireworks if we weren't right in front watching what the story was telling us on the castle. So first, where we start, more fireworks. Let's make sure that this is a fireworks spectacular that can be seen from anywhere in the Magic Kingdom.
Wonderful.
Start there.
Okay.
And then that is a storytelling tool. That's a character. And then we use other storytelling tools and characters, such as lighting, which is phenomenal, and lasers, which play a much bigger story role in this story. And so much so that probably half the time you don't even know that they're doing what they're doing. They're a paintbrush, and they're painting on the castle.
The best compliment I can give a producer is if you can't tell what the media is and you're sucked into the story, it doesn't matter what the media is.
And there's times where that magic has to burst out, and it will burst out bigger than it has ever done before.
Burst out of Cinderella's castle all the way down. Where do you start to do something like that?
Well, where do you start? Well, let's start with the castle. If that is housing our magic, if that's our icon, it's all right there. But sometimes you just feel like you wish you were closer. Well, instead of you coming closer, let's bring the magic to you.
That's a great way of looking at it.
So now, wherever you're at, even in the hub, in the middle of the, between the castle and in Main Street, even that has a whole new experience. Brand new lighting, brand new immersion. You literally see the magic leave the castle, come across the hub. You feel like it's passing you right by and then continues to go all the way down Main Street. And then you always feel like you're engulfed in the story. You're no longer just looking at it. That's what helps make this one, Disney Enchantment, so different, is you don't feel like you're just watching it. You feel like you're in it.
And that's amazing, because I think a lot of people want to be in it, and they cram into the hub or try to get there to be in it. But this is bringing it out, which leads to my next question. Where's the best place to view this?
Well, first of all, I'd have to say, what are you looking for?
I want to feel the story.
Okay, because I know people who get so enthralled with the music. The music is such an amazing device. It doesn't matter where they're at. They just want to hear the music. Some people, I just want to look at the fireworks. Some people, like you said, I want to feel it. I want to be immersed in it. Well, then Main Street might be for you.
Got it.
Unlike some of the other shows that we've done, I think what also sets this one apart is you can watch it from multiple different locations and see a slightly different story or find some new things that you hadn't seen before. So not saying that's another reason to come back and see it. It just makes the story different. Just like when we watch movies, sometimes you catch something different every time.
Sure.
This case, not only will you catch something different every time, you might only have a chance if you're in a different location.
I got it. So from a music point of view,
yes,
most of the park is going to hear this music. So if you're in Adventureland or if you're behind the castle or someplace else, you're still going to have a great view of this. It may be a different view. That's still a valid option?
Yeah. Right now, all the viewing, if you think of it as a fireworks show, every place that you want to immerse yourself in it, that's as far as our audio goes.
Okay.
But you remember, this is a theme park.
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of other things. Yeah.
Right. But it's hard not to ignore all those big booms in the sky.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of all those booms, you mentioned before that there are more fireworks in this than previous shows. But it's not really longer. So what have you done? Just more fireworks and less time?
That was great. You answered your own question perfectly. Yes, so that's it. With a show that's a few minutes shorter, now when you compress it like that, there's a lot more opportunities for fireworks. Fireworks, in some shows, are accents to scenes.
Sure.
In this case, it is just another storytelling device throughout. It's accenting the music from beginning to end.
I love it, Mark. Thank you so much for your time. We're looking forward to experiencing Enchantment. Yeah. It's been a long time in coming since the first time you guys introduced this. We thought, wow, because we'll be honest, all eyes were on Epcot until you go, wait, they're doing one over there too. Yeah. And we can't wait to see it tonight.
Me too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hope to see you there.
Absolutely. I hope too. Thanks all for the time. Thank you guys for watching. Remember, the Disney Nerds Podcast, Sam's Disney Diary. We'll see you soon.
That last part was kind of cool about how the show is actually a little shorter now in the Magic Kingdom, but the amount of fireworks have increased. So that's going to be incredible. And we've been seeing it. So the next interview we have is Sam interviewing Clint from the Harmonious staff. He works in the audio department over at Epcot, and he's been with the Harmonious program for about 4 years. And he's got a great story to tell. Here we go.
Hey, everybody, welcome back here at Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary celebration. And, you know, we have been waiting a long time to see a new nighttime spectacular at Epcot. I heard a little bit about it at the D23 Expo a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But, Clint, you're part of the audio specialties. So what do you do here?
So I'm an audio designer here at Disney's Live Entertainment. So we bring the score to life in the parks.
Bring the score to life in the parks. So not just Harmonious, but all this, everything. That's
yes,
cool.
I work with a team of talented individuals, and our job is to make sure that Disney experience is like none.
Okay, so let's talk specifically Harmonious, because we've heard about this for quite a while. We've watched it slowly evolve. We had to watch Epcot Forever for a little while, but that's okay. It was good, but that's behind us now. When did you start your involvement here, and how exciting is this, man?
So I was, I've been on the project for over 4 years now, and the excitement has been, you know, something I don't think I could replicate or ever explain to many people. It's being a part of something that's going to change the face of the park, be a part of the new legacy, that the DNA.
Well, that's exactly it, because you think about the music and everything that was in the previous, which from 1999 until 2019, we all loved Illuminations, and it was great.
Yep.
And while that was running, you're working on creating this new Bring Us Together. So one of the interesting things is we all knew the story of Illuminations, right? There were three acts. There's also three acts in Harmonious, right?
There are.
Does music tie those things together?
100%. So the three acts here, I'll let you in on the little secret.
Please.
You know, but we still need to come experience it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So the first thing we're going to do is gather. We're going to call everyone to the water, to the show. We're going to bring out these chants that are going to be very familiar, but it's going to be in a unique, special way.
Okay.
Which you're going to feel like, wait, what was that? Did I hear that right? But that brings us all in. That's the gather. Then we're going to celebrate. We're going to throw the biggest party on the water that
I like it.
Celebrate is now we're taking these diverse cultures and we're representing them in the most authentic way possible with the amount of musicians and recording sessions we've done globally to bring this to life with authentic, diverse cultures. That's the celebrate.
Which that celebrates World Showcase. I mean, that's what you're doing.
Party in a big way. And then the unite. So the unite section is where we bring back in for the message of, you know, global unity, one nation, one global group where it's, you know, we are one.
And pulling that music together. Well, number one, look at the library of music that you have to pull from and be able to take those songs and make them international flavor. And I haven't seen the show yet, so I'm guessing that all of that together is going to draw us in to go, wait a minute. That sounds like something I heard in a movie, but it's not, but it is.
So I'll do you one better. The Disney catalog is so vast. If we sat here and started playing it, we'd be here till next month. And
I'd probably not repeat
a song.
Right.
So what we're doing here is taking some classics, some cultural icons,
okay,
and doing it in a way you've never heard. So for me personally, if I can tell you the story.
Yes, please.
Lion King, one of my personal favorite Disney movies from the day it came out. I've loved every version of it, live action, Broadway, animated. What we've done here with the music, we have a choir that is singing it in authentic Zulu, their language, bringing it to life from South Africa. So it's a way of hearing the music that you've never heard before.
That's And you know what? People are going to watch it. You guys are live streaming this thing tonight, yep. Which is awesome. But I'm sure no matter what we do here at Disney World, you can record it. You can put it on YouTube. But until you see it in person and can sense it, and in some cases, I'm going to suggest feel it from a musical point of view.
That's definitely it. And it's coming out with your families, coming out with your loved ones, but feeling the experience. It's one of those, every pavilion here around World Showcase is unique. As you walk from country to country, your soundscape changes, your smells change. Just the sheer atmosphere or the ground, it looks different. Now we're taking you into one chapter, so we all go into the pre-show, and then we all go into the show and experience this together. Again, one giant party. And then we restore you back to the way you were.
I love it. So let me ask you this from a technical point of view.
Okay.
Were there any points in development when you went, wow, I didn't think we could do that?
I'm impressed and wowed every day with the amazing cast and crew we work with. And it's that whole, you know, there's nothing you can't do when you work together. It's a collaborative space and we all do it together. So it's just looking at challenges. I mean, we've had many on this project. We aren't going to pretend as if this has been flawless from start to finish.
Sure.
I mean,
look at it for kind of, look how big those things are. I'm thinking audio. How many speakers are on those darn things? I mean, I know you know the answer, and but oh my gosh.
And that's where, like, there's a lot of people who want the technical data. They want to know. They want to know all the I's and O's and ins and outs. But really, we're just creating the experience. This is what entertainment is. It's why would you stand here? Why do you need to come feel it and experience it?
It's storytelling.
Exactly.
And everything else is just a means to tell the story. That's the way I look at it. And Disney is better than anyone.
The experience is second to none. And again, this show, when you all see it, only at Epcot, the cultures here at World Showcase Lagoon coming to life in this new nighttime spectacular cannot be duplicated.
Yeah, and I think there's one thing I want to point out, because everybody just spouts off Harmonious. When it was first introduced by Bob Chapek at the D23 Expo, he made it clear, Harmonious. And the U.S. is purposely separate. And in a lot of cases, the U.S. is capitalized. This is about uniting everybody in it. That's amazing, Clint.
It's about us, the people. It's going back to the core roots of us, like you said.
I love it. Thank you for your time, man. What an honor for you to have done this. That's awesome.
Honestly, it's to create the experience for our guests and our families. It's an honor to do something like this for people to come experience.
And this is going to be here for a long time. We hope so.
I hope we've all had a chance to see the new Harmonious by now, video-wise, if not in person. I think it's been a pretty good show. I can't wait to see it in person. I've heard a lot of different things about the show itself. What I've seen, it looks incredible. It sounds incredible. Can't wait to see it. So now what we have is Sam's interview with Tom from Space 220, the restaurant over at Epcot that opened up last month. It's been going strong, and I'm looking forward to getting down there in November. Here we go. Take it away, Sam.
Well, then that's what I'm going to go with.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Sam's Disney Diary. I am here in Space 220 with creative executive Tom. And Tom, you've been here a long time at Walt Disney World in Imagineering.
Yes.
In fact, I did a little research.
Uh-oh.
You have been here for over 40 years.
Yes.
And I know we're here to talk about Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, but Epcot's 40th is next year, which means you've been here since the beginning of Epcot.
I have.
How has this Epcot transformation, this restaurant that we're sitting in, this has to be exciting times.
It's totally exciting. I mean, when we started to work on the transformation of Epcot, we were looking for ways to make it more family fun, more family friendly throughout, and also stay true to Epcot's DNA. And, you know, we have this great restaurant, Coral Reef,
sure,
where you get to dine undersea. And so, and we were saying we really should find a signature dining experience on the other side of the park to balance it. I mean, everybody knows World Showcase is
sure,
a culinary centerpiece.
Absolutely.
Of Epcot, but why not in the front too? Why not elevate the dining experience? And so we said, well, with underwater here, why not outer space? And we had room next to Mission Space and said, all right, that's astronaut training and that's intense.
Sure.
But space tourism is evolving now. And how about something that really addresses...
Talk about timely.
Yeah. I mean, we started this in 2014. Who knew? Now it's really top of mind. But the idea of saying, hey, let's give guests an experience that in the future you could actually take a space elevator up to a station and have lunch or dinner or breakfast or, you know, and give guests a sense of what would it be like to look at our planet from space and enjoy and appreciate it from space while you're having really fine dining experience.
So how much of that inspiration comes from the coral reef or the other side of the park? Because you sit and you watch the nature and world nature, right?
Right.
Now we're over World Discover. It's perfect because I love to walk, wait for Mickey to come by, and the Royal will look for Dory and the fish. And now what we're doing is looking for the astronauts,
exactly,
looking for the space station. You've really taken that experience and duplicated it in a unique way.
Yeah, and we've tried to, you know, basically once you're up, the Stellarvator, how you get up to Space 220, you know, is so much fun for guests. And it's also a bit of a throwback because for those who remember the old Flight to the Moon or Mission to Mars, the original one.
Sure.
You know, had a theater that had a screen below and a screen above, and you mm-hmm. saw the world disparate. And we said, why don't we do that but as a space elevator, which is something that scientists have talked about for our future, and let guests see Epcot receding away, and here goes the state, I can see the state of Florida, and here comes the space station up above, and really give you an immersive dining experience all the way. Come in, have your meal, and then take the elevator back to Epcot, and time of day appropriate, weather appropriate, to really make it as believable as possible, because this will be in the future, hopefully in ours, but it will be in the future, and that's what we want to give guests a taste of, as well as a taste of a great meal.
There's so many things I want to ask you about what you just said, because you started with the name of the elevator, and immediately anybody that's been watching Disney or visiting for the 40 years that you've been around, we think Hydrolator. So it's fun throwback.
It's an immersive storytelling device that, you know, or you could think Haunted Mansion, you know, the stretching room, you know, getting people in the mood for their experience. Yes, you could walk in off the street and immediately be here, but you wouldn't believe that you had traveled to space. So we're Imagineers. So it's like, well, I want you to believe we've taken to the, you know, the elevator experience. You feel the rumble. You see Epcot. You see the cars on test track. You see the boats in World Showcase Lagoon. It's a believable experience, and of course we're so fortunate to get to work with our colleagues at ILM, Industrial Light and Magic, you know, who've worked with us in so many projects to create this media for us to bring it to life, as well as all the things that take place outside the window. And our tone here was, look, this is a time when traveling to space is almost every day in a sense, right?
Sure.
I'm gonna go up for lunch and then go back to Earth. And so what goes on outside the window is more of, in a sense, in the background, right?
Yes.
Ships are coming and going occasionally because there are workers who are moving beams in, but it's space tourism. So you're going to see families walking a dog in space. You're going to see kids playing with toys in space. You're going to see, you know, a romantic couple taking a spacewalk. And so we really tried to make sure that we created images that are inclusive to say, I can picture myself, or my family, my kids, my partner, in that future, and how exciting will it be, which is what Epcot's all about, right? How exciting can the future be with an optimistic view and with all of us working together?
This restaurant is amazing. It's a great addition, and I love the balance that it does bring to the front of Epcot and in your World Discovery,
right,
World Nature, and World Celebration in the middle. And you mentioned before, the whole transformation of Epcot is bringing more characters. And we're seeing that with Remy. We saw that with Frozen. We saw that with even the 50th statues that are moving around. This 50th anniversary is huge. And you've been here for a lot of those 50 years.
And I worked, and when I was in college, I worked in the Magic Kingdom. So I have a lot of my history here. And I worked on the Skyway. It was my first ride when I worked at Walt Disney World back as a kid. And so I love that.
The Skyway shirt. That's a perfect match. So what can we expect? You know, the 50th is awesome. The plans have to be in works. Look, and you got this 18-month celebration, which is going to lead us right into the 100th year of the Walt Disney Company in 2023. Yeah. So that's obviously coming. You got Epcot 40 next year. So much more to come here.
That's right.
We appreciate it.
It never stops. I mean, that was Walt's goal, right?
Last night, watched the final Epcot Forever, and it starts with Epcot will always be in state of transformation.
Everything you see will change time again. But the message of Epcot, you know, this optimistic future that we can create together, is part of it. And so this restaurant, this is a science-based restaurant, you know, and the IP in this restaurant is real science. So this is going to happen one day, and that's our goal, is to excite people about what the future could be.
The timing is amazing, Tom, with everything happening in the world today. Thank you for getting us down that path, and thank you guys for watching.
You.
So much more coming from the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
That was such a cool, cool interview. Tom being there 40 years is so awesome, and he's going to be there a lot longer, it sounds like. Okay, so now the next interview is with Anne Morrow, And she's going to be talking about the new Halcyon, or the new spaceship hotel that's coming for the Star Wars galaxy to Florida.
Talk about exciting times. It's Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, but I am standing in front of a model of the Halcyon Star Cruiser with Anne Morrow, who has been looking at this model for a long time.
Boy, we have, and it is so fun to be able to kind of share it with our guests and be just so close to bringing it to life and inviting folks in.
It's so close. We know this coming spring. We'll just leave it at that for now. But let's talk a little bit, because you presented at the D23 Expo, mm-hmm. and we hung on every word of what you talked about. And you went through the noise that the doors make. That's the sound, which is incredible. But tell me a little bit about the whole idea of story living and where that comes from.
Story living is, I think, the thing that I am most excited about with this project, because for the first time, we're inviting you to spend an entire vacation living in a story and playing a part in it, right? So the only role we actively give you is you are going to come aboard the Halcyon Star Cruiser and, you know, essentially take a journey through space. And then how you choose to participate once you're on board is up to you. But of course, the ship is filled with all sorts of characters and different folks who need your help. And how you choose to either help them or, you know, go against them is up to you. And your story will unfold differently.
So some characters that we're familiar with and others that are brand new.
That's right.
How did the collaboration of creating these characters come about? Where did...
You know, so the partnership with Lucasfilm on how we think through how to make sure that A Galaxy Far, Far Away is the right kind of story for the right type of storytelling has been really fun. And so while we've been taking some of the characters that you know from the movie, we're also introducing kind of a new set of characters that are going to be interacting with our guests so that you can kind of get to know them and experience it all for the first time and live out your story yourself.
All of those characters fitting directly into the Star Wars universe that we all know and love. They're Twi'leks, they're the galactic superstars. It's interesting to see how those characters all fit, which takes me to my next question. The synergy that you see across all Disney properties that's tied together by the story group at Lucasfilms. Look at the Disney Wish, which we just talked about. Mm-hmm. There's a lounge on that, the Hyperspace Lounge. And when that lounge gets to Batuu, you see something on the screen that looks a lot like the Halcyon, is it?
You see something that looks a whole lot like the Halcyon. You know, there are so many fun Easter eggs that you can kind of see throughout Star Wars canon where we are, to your point, creating a connected galaxy, right?
Right.
You want all of the pieces to come together, and it all exists in the timeline and across a broad galaxy, and yet there's such an opportunity to kind of go deep and live each different story as it unfolds.
So, and at the same time, you guys have created new areas, you've created new planets, you've created things that fit right into the Star Wars galaxy for mm-hmm. your storytelling ideas, because that's really what this is storytelling.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, I think we talked a lot about what is the personality of the Millennium Falcon, right? Like, that's a ship
okay.
that everybody
yeah.
knows, and it's got so much to it, right? It's got so much character. It's been through and seen so much. Or like, if you think about Leia's Tantive, right? Like, that
sure.
also has seen some days. And so when we were thinking about the Halcyon Star Cruiser and what makes this ship its own character, we spent a lot of time thinking with the story group about that. So this is a passenger vehicle, right? Like, it is a vessel meant for well-heeled travelers to enjoy the galaxy. And you can sort of see, like, some of the smokestacks and some of the
sure.
pieces that make it feel like a cruise ship, essentially. And yet it's so clearly designed by the Corellian Engineering Corporation, and it's got, you know, all the little gacky pieces that make it feel
I see a radar that looks a lot like one that might be on the Millennium Falcon. I mean, there's a lot of things that are very similar across the Star Wars universe, for certain.
Yeah, we want to make sure that it's kind of consistent storytelling and it all feels like it is of the same universe, right?
It is the same universe.
Yeah.
And along those lines, from a storytelling point of view, you guys have, there's an itinerary, and we know that things might go wrong. I mean, that's... It may be.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. It could happen.
I completely understand that. But then the actions, and part of story living, the actions that I would take based on those events is going to dictate what happens in my experience.
That's exactly right.
Which could be completely different than the person in the cabin next to me.
In fact, we could be on opposite sides of the galaxy.
Listen, it's possible that you might want to help maintain order in the galaxy, and I may be more of a resistancy, or I don't know, I may want to go heist something as a smuggler, you know, and if there's someone else who wants to kind of follow their path in engaging with the Force, I respect that. And, you know, we want to have kind of each of the things that feels like core Star Wars to each of our guests have the opportunity to explore that by meeting characters and helping them or double-crossing them, depending on how they want to play.
The Star Wars story is clearly there. You've been working on this for...
Ever.
So
years.
Along those lines, how, as the technology comes together and we see different pieces go and the evolution and sitting at the round table with other Imagineers and people from Lucas, mm-hmm. what are some of the cool, like, aha moments? Like, we can really do that? That's amazing.
Yeah, so there was this one moment where it was early in Blue Sky when we were kind of talking through, so what are the types of experiences that you want to have in Star Wars?
Sure.
Just like while we're having a drink or whatever. And, you know, there was the, man, I'd really like to sleep on board a ship, you know, like more like the bunk beds that we've seen Chewbacca hang out on. Or
sure.
I want to be at the front of the ship and I want to be the one who, you know, like blows up the TIE fighters in the middle of a space battle. Or I actually want to really wield a lightsaber. And we were talking about all of these individual pieces and kind of thinking about how this might come together in an overall experience. And it was actually one of our operations partners who said, you know what, it sounds like what you're talking about is really less of a hotel and more like a cruise style experience.
Yeah.
Because with a fixed length of stay with that itinerary, you can have your activities and all the kind of individual pieces included, but you can also have a very clear story arc. So
sure.
the ability to have one fateful cruise that goes, you know, horribly wrong.
But that makes complete sense. And that's what I have told people that have asked.
And it gelled. Yeah.
You need to compare this to going to Port Canaveral and getting on a Disney cruise, because you're going to get on for 2 days and you come back 2 days later. Same thing's happening here.
Yeah,
you're getting
here
on
you
a Star
Cruiser.
You can
always take the launch pod back down to the terminal at Walt Disney World. But yes, it is exactly a complete vacation that kind of unfolds over the course of those 2 nights.
Which is an incredible addition to a Disney World vacation. Spend your couple of days
yeah.
in the Star Cruiser and then spend the rest of the day in the Magic Kingdom or wherever else you might want to
yeah,
go
absolutely.
Here in Central
Go visit
Florida.
One of our other resort hotels, and then you've got all the opportunity in the world to go see all the exciting new stuff at Epcot, Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom, all the different places.
I love it. Are you going to be ready for spring?
Launching March 1st of 2022.
Then we are going to be ready for March the 1st. I absolutely love it. Thank you for your time,
oh,
Ann Morrow. This has been wonderful. And we look forward to seeing what comes next in the next D23 Expo. Whenever
it's always exciting to chat with you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
That was a very, very good interview, Sam. We've been hearing so many things about this new hotel, and now to hear how perhaps our like 3-day journey goes a little askew, and we have to maybe even defend the ship, hopefully jump into a quad mount and fight some TIE fighters, perhaps. I don't know. I look forward to it. Okay, so for tonight, our last interview is going to be about the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride that's going to be coming into Epcot. We're looking forward to this one a lot. And from this interview, we're going to get a new word to add to our Disney Nerds vocabulary. We have the Omni Mover. Look out for the Omni Coaster. This sounds fun.
Welcome back to Sam's Disney Diary. Disney Nerds, this is awesome. I'm standing next to one of the ride vehicles from the Guardians of the Galaxy Rewind.
Cosmic Rewind.
Cosmic Rewind. Thank you, Alex,
sure
for
thing.
Correcting me. I'm getting
that's
myself confused.
For.
Alex is part of the WDI team that's been working on this attraction.
Correct.
That huge building over in Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
Over in World...
World Discovery.
Discovery, which is right. official now, I understand.
It is.
And this is the building is big.
We think, yeah, you might be surprised by the scale, and it sounds like you were when you saw it yesterday.
So what I did is I got to go inside yesterday. We'll mm-hmm. talk about that in a second. But if you take Google Earth and you look at Spaceship Earth and you try to put it in there, I'm figuring 2.5 times maybe?
But if by volume, it's a little over 4.
Wow, that thing is huge. So let's talk
don't
about it.
Don't try it, though. We don't recommend it.
Yeah. I won't try it.
Okay.
So if you can, what has your involvement been? How long has this been under works? And what's happening?
Okay, any attraction of this scale for us does take some time. So I've been on this for a number of years, and we've been working toward what we're calling here in the World Discovery neighborhood, our first other world showcase pavilion. So within our story, the idea is that the people of Xandar, who are featured in the first Guardians of the Galaxy film,
sure.
where the big climactic battle takes place, they have come to Epcot with the same intention that many of our, you know, countries around the world showcase might have. They are here to make friends, build community, to tell us about themselves, about their people, about their culture, about their advanced technologies. And so that becomes kind of the stepping off point to get us into our story.
I love it. And that dovetails on, I want to say maybe 18 months ago, I watched a thing back in World Showcase at the American Gardens Theater where the Zendarians showed up and they played some really cool music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to guess music is a big part of this.
It is. Anytime you're doing something with the Guardians of the Galaxy, music has to play a big role.
Okay, so here's what we know. It's a coaster. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at one of the ride cars.
Yep.
It is a reverse launch, and it's one of the longest indoor coasters at Disney or in the world?
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the things that we've been told.
Mm-hmm.
How does this whole thing work?
Well, the things that you mentioned are kind of byproducts of the story we're trying to tell. So the fact that we can do that reverse launch is enabled by our OmniCoaster system, which is...
OmniCoaster.
Yes.
Okay.
So you probably are familiar with the term Omni.
I'm thinking Haunted Mansion immediately.
Exactly. So Haunted Mansion and Seas with Nemo and Friends, other attractions like that. We've learned how to move people through spaces and to orient them toward the show that we want to present, right? So we think of the guests as being like the camera moving through the scene.
Sure.
In this case, we wanted to take that capability and port it over to a high-speed thrill attraction and tell a different type of story. And so developing the OmniCoaster technology enabled us to do something like the reverse launch. But when you experience it, you'll find that even that is a story-driven choice. It's not just for the novelty.
So it's not just the thrill of it, which takes me back to, I hear again and again, this is a family coaster.
Exactly.
So this isn't about, oh my gosh, let's get on a rock and roller coaster, flip upside down as many times as you can.
Right.
This is, what I'm hearing you say, an omni coaster that's going to point you to view the right story elements, not just spin you around in a circle, but
correct,
show you things.
It was not developed with the intent of upping the thrill factor necessarily, although it is a very thrilling experience, but it's very unique. It's different from the sensation that you get on any other coaster, and all with in service of the story. So it is so that we can put you into those scenes at high speed to make them a little longer than you might be able to on a traditional coaster, or to point you toward a show scene that we want you to see, or away from a sight line that might not be so good. So it really gives us a lot of control in the way that we are delivering that story around a thrill attraction, and that's what's so exciting about this one.
Yeah, it makes it completely different, because I'm thinking Haunted Mansion and the way things move, and I also had a flashback to some George Mive trade, mm-hmm, which kind of sort of does that a little bit,
right,
but not really. You're taking that, and in classic Disney fashion, plussing that up to a thrill level where you're able to have story elements to tell a story.
Yes.
So what, if anything, have you guys revealed around the story itself, other than it's the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, we use the phrase, you know, it's an adventurous race through time and space.
So okay.
That captures the experience of what you would see in the portion of the attraction you saw yesterday.
Okay.
So
which is the big building, not
the
former Ellen's Energy Adventure Place,
correct,
which we did
correct.
Not get.
So, sort of, you know, as illustrated in this piece of concept art behind you, that kind of captures the essence of the thrill portion of the attraction.
Okay. And this is all about thrills. It's about storytelling, and that's really it. But you guys have a soundtrack that's amazing. Is it, so let me ask you this, same soundtrack every time you ride? Are you going to hear maybe different things as you go through? Or
That's something you'll just have to wait and see.
We'll be revealing
more as we get further along.
I figured as much, and we're expecting this sometime in 2022 is what we're hearing.
Yes.
So we'll look forward to that. We'll probably ride in Galactic Star Cruisers before then, which we will be doing. But look forward to the Guardians of the Galaxy. So while you went through this whole process and doing it, any big, holy cow, we can really do that moment that's stood out for you?
Well, there were a few of those, and I'd say the OmniCoaster is part of that. Like, that was, at the time we started this project, that was a big idea, and it was something we thought we could do, but we didn't know all the ways we were going to do it, right? It was unknown, so we had to go through a process and discover things. And then there are other pieces of the attraction that might have come from somebody's idea in a brainstorming session. You know,
right.
Hey, what if this? And again, if you don't know the way you're going to do it, then that's part of the fun of doing this job, is to figure those things out.
Figure it out.
Work with the team and kind of advance toward, you know, paying off on that idea. And that's what's really exciting about it.
It's there's a lot of hoops that you jump through, things that happen to make it look easy. And we as guests, when we walk into Guardians and we go through the pre-show in the Centarium, is that what it's called?
The Galaxarium.
The Galaxarium, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. That's where this whole thing starts, we know that much. Then we're going to go on an adventure with the Guardians of the Galaxy. We're all looking forward to that. Thank you for sharing some of the information about that.
Absolutely.
I truly think that this new Guardians attraction is going to be one of the best ones they're going to be opening with this 50th anniversary. I cannot wait for this one. Out in California, they did such a great job, and I think they're going to do such a great job here that I just can't wait. Looking forward to it. What do you guys think? Let us know. Send us an email. Drop by our Facebook page. Go to the blog. Check out our newest articles. Check out the radio station over at Dreamfinder Radio. And hang out with the Disney nerds. November's coming up. We're going to be down in Walt Disney World for the November Disney Nerds meetups. Go over to the Disney Nerds podcast page over on Facebook and check out our events. Everything is listed there. Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 411 of the Disney Nerds podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Mortals pay a toll.